Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what we're experiencing. Thank you that life gets better. Heal right now in the name of Jesus. We honor you and thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Touch your neighbor and say, everything's going to be all right. Tell them, I don't care what you're going through. Tell them, God's got you. I got you. And Satan is defeated. You believe it? Put those hands together and bless God. We just left a season of giving that we call the big gift. And we set a goal of $15,000 that we wanted to raise. And I want you to help me celebrate that we raised $15,000. That's actually about $16,000 now. Come on, can we celebrate that that's what we raised and we were able to bless our community? God, we thank you. We bless you. For those of you who were not here, don't know what this is, that's not money that goes to our budget. That's a year-end offering that we raised, and it's actually, that's all that we counted. It was probably more than that, but that's all that marked on their envelope, and it was actually about $16,000. What we did is we took that money, and there are a lot of churches around this community, and we're about to enter into a building season, so we thought, what better season than to sow a seed? So we found 10 churches that may not have necessarily big budgets, and we wrote them all a check for $1,000 for them to go do things in the community, and they're nonprofits here, and we are celebrating what God is doing here in our community and using us to do just that. So thank you all for giving, and thank you for your gifts. And if you'd like to give some more, pass the basket at the end of service. So I preached a series. I'm in the middle of preaching a series called Remix, where I took the top three sermons that people picked for the year. One was How's That Working For You? Last week was Late Bloomers. And this one is called Judgment Free Zone. And I don't know about you, but everybody I know hates to be judged. I just start going back, well, a little bit. I go back to Planet Fitness. I probably don't go like I should. Y'all got the dues you pay every month that you don't go. The thing I love about Planet Fitness is they call it a judgment-free zone, that you don't feel bad to a place that you're supposed to go, and to make you feel bad for being in the shape that you're in. And I believe churches and families and people should be like that. But here's the challenge about the society we live in. The society we live in is crazy judgmental. Everybody has an opinion about everything, and we all think we're right. Not only do we have an opinion, but most people have a phone. Not only do you have a phone, but you got social media that you post your opinion on. And you tell everybody exactly what you think, and then you get mad at them for telling them what they think about what you think. After you just told the whole world what you think and say, don't judge me, when you put it out there for everybody. But we live in this judgmental world, but here's the thing that I have come to grips with, and it's hard in my line of work. Everybody is not going to like me. I am not perfect, and I shouldn't try to pretend to be perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you aren't perfect either. And if we don't get it right all the time, we shouldn't act like we're perfect. I think if any place that a person should come and receive love, it's the house of God. That I don't care what's happening in your life, this is not the place of shame. This is not the place. Only difference between many of us, some of us got caught and some of us didn't. Some of your struggle is visible and some of your struggle is private. But all of us in this room got something we're dealing with. Look at your neighbor, don't say a word, just stare at them. My challenge is, I'm not like many of you when it comes to judgment. Many of you got the gift of goodbye. Yeah, you have the gift of somebody does something you don't like, they're wasting your time. You're like, and for what? May the Lord watch between me and thee. Put that church hand up while we're absent one from another. You can chunk the deuces and you out. There's a lot of people that you done cut off social media. They don't even know you ain't following no more. They found out you weren't friends by somebody screenshotted something you posted. They went to your page and said, we ain't even friends no more. You got the gift. I don't have that gift. I care way too much. But the challenge is I deal with pride as well. So I spend a lot of time not doing things that I want to do and watching how I do things, because I'll stay up all night if I've hurt somebody or offended somebody. Even when it comes to church, I don't want to be judged. I grew up in a shout and dancing church. And I can't dance, but I can shout. And when the Spirit of God moves, I like to move my feet a little bit, but I'm always worried about who's going to go home and mock my shout. Because I done about imitated everybody's shout that I sing. Some of you have been in church and you want to wave your hands and cry, but you looking down the row and see who's going to look at you. You want to worship and the music, God, they were going a minute ago. You want to just get into it, but you're nervous about who's looking at you. Do you know what would happen if you took the stoppers off God and quit worried about being judged? Because half the people you think are thinking about you, they ain't thought nothing about you. And if they did, it wasn't for the length of time that you thought they did. But many of us struggle with this sense of judgment. And because our view of judgment, we spend a lot of times deciding what's good for others and what's good for ourselves. And in the reality, that's not your call. Here's the thing I love about God. God is a judge, but he's not judgmental. I'm going to say it again. God is a judge, but he's not judgmental. And many people view this season, whether it be good or bad, based on our judgment of how good things are to us. I want you to think about this even, and if I celebrate Christmas, the word Christ, where you get Christmas, you got Jesus Christ, Mass, is where you get the word celebration. So Christ celebration, I celebrate Christmas. I love gifts. I love giving gifts. So we celebrate, but if you don't and you don't like carols, just close your ears here for a moment. But I want to talk about even the songs we had growing up, how we viewed Christmas was from a form of judgment. And I'm not judging this song. I'm just pointing something out to you. Loretta, can you sing a little song for me that we sung when we were growing up? Christmas spirit, hopefully you are now. But I want you to think about how we viewed Christmas in light of this song. You better watch out. You better not cry. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what's going on in your. I wish you would cry right now. I wish you would act like something. You don't got a reason to be happy right now. He said, you better not pout. I don't care what's going on in your life. It's the first Christmas without your loved ones. I don't care if things ain't going right on your job. Here's why I'm telling you. Santa Claus is coming to town. You ain't got no chimney, you ain't cooked no cookies, and ain't no milk out there. But Santa Claus is coming, and he done made a list, and he done need to check it twice. He knows if you've been naughty, he knows if you've been nice. Watch out, Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, who you're sleeping with. He knows when you are awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so you better be good for goodness sake. So I was just thinking about this song this week, and the Lord stopped me, and you might have talked to God. And he said, Jason, Christmas is not about you. It's about a celebration of Jesus and his goodness. So I want you to have a Merry Christmas not based off how good you've been or how good life has been to you. But I want you to celebrate my goodness in this season. Because many of us have threatened our kids. You've been acting up all year long. You don't get a stocking full of coat. You ain't getting nothing. You're going to be sitting there and crying. And don't you cry them little crocodile tears on Christmas because you done showed out all year long. And because you've not been good, Christmas is not going to be good. I got some parents saying amen in here. But aren't you glad the king doesn't do us like that? Here's what I found out about God. God is good. Somebody say all the time God is good? I said that wrong, but he's good. You know the thing about God? God's good not because you're good. God's good because he's good. You might have had a cold where you couldn't taste food. don't make the food bad. It just means your taste buds are not working. The thing about God, he's always good whether you can taste him or not. He's always good where you can feel him or not. There's sometimes you can't feel God where you got to feel for him in faith. But God's good because he made a decision to be good. Even on your worst day, he's still good. On your best day, he's good. He's good because he's God, and God is good. But when you're judgmental, you view God's goodness in terms of where you are in life. And here's the thing about this Christmas season. God is good, and he wants to use his goodness, not based on how you feel or what you've experienced, but based on who he wants to be with you. There's a scripture I love in the Bible, Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness." We think God loves us through taking our cars. Oh, I'm going to catch you. I'm gonna get you caught up. I'm going to take your loved ones. I'm going to destroy everything in your life. I'm going to take your money like God needs your money. I'm going to just beat you down to a pulp. And that's how God pulls us to him. People run to God when everything else fails. I can always turn to him. But the scripture says, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. Anybody ever looked at your life and it's not perfect and just say, I don't deserve this? Say, you don't know my story, but God's been good to me. Some of you don't know how good God has been to you in here. Can you do me a favor? Just wave your hand. Can somebody take a breath in and breathe out? Do you know how many people just wish they could do that without getting dizzy? You know, people wish they could just wave their hand. How many people wish they had the activities of the limb? You're blessed in this place. The hand of God is on your life, and God has been good to us. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. This message today is for those of us who are struggling with guilt, those of us who are struggling with grief, those of us who are struggling in this to find the goodness in this holiday season. For those of us who say, if you cook one more cookie and try to bring it to me, if I hear one more little Salvation Bell, Army Bell, I'm going to just smush that little thing. If the kid act up one more time, if I get one more Angel Tree request, because the season has not been good to you. I want to let you know that God wants to be good to you, and he wants to trade your holiday grief for a holiday miracle. This sermon hit me. Jar, can you throw my thing? This sermon hit me when I was asleep. Anybody been sleeping good? I don't know how many rams there are to sleep, but man, you in like one of the deepest rams of sleep, and then you wake up, use bathroom, you have to get something to drink or something. And as soon as you wake up, you just feel this heaviness jump on you. Sleeping good, and I was asleep. And when I woke up, I felt like the weight of the world just jumped on me. No, I did. My mind got to go in a million different directions, and I wish I could go back to sleep, but I couldn't get my mind. Y'all probably never have those problems. I couldn't make my mind stop working. I couldn't stop thinking that happened and that happened. And many of you are in this place right now, and we can't see this, but in your mind, in your emotions, in your spirit, you're walking around with a monkey on your back. You're walking around with things weighing you down, and people don't even realize it's not even what they said that bother you, but it's how you received it based off the things that are going on in your life. And you just walk around heavy because it seems like there are things in your life who are out to steal your joy, things that are out to steal your peace, and you're walking around and you can't figure out, how in the world do I get this thing off of me? With this thing right here, it's easy. I know how it got on me. I put it on here, and I can take it. I can throw it off. But the reality is, in life, it's not that easy, because half of us are dealing with stuff that you don't even know how it got on you. Was it through a conversation with somebody? Was it through somebody else's negativity? Is it all my bad decisions coming back to get me? Is it the loss? All these things you're dealing with, but you're walking way down. And there are things on you that are hindering you. And here's the craziest part about living like this. You can learn to live like this. You can learn to live way down. And this becomes your norm. But there's some of us in this room that says, I don't want to live like this. I cannot go into 2020 like this. I cannot live another day like this. I need to figure out how to get this stuff off of me. I'm going to let somebody testify in here. Is there anybody in this room say, I got some stuff on me that I need to get off? Anybody got some debt you want to get off? Yeah. Anybody got some extra fried chicken you want to get off? Anybody got, I'm not talking about people, but anybody got some stuff, negativity in your life you're trying to get off? Anybody got some guilt you're trying to get off? In this season, God said, I'm going to show you how to get it off of you.
Here's how you experience the goodness of God. I want to walk you through a couple steps of how to get it off. Isaiah 53 and 3, this is the Amplified version. You can follow me on the screen in your Bible. It says this: He was despised and rejected, forsaken by man, a man of sorrows and pains, acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or esteem him for him, having esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weakness, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Somebody say, I'm healed, and I'm made whole. Four things on how to get it off of you. Number one is this: you got to know what this is that you're carrying. Some of us been carrying this for so long, you don't even know what it is. Some of us been angry for so long, you don't even know what you're angry about. We've been sad for so long that everything begins to compound what's going on in your life. You got to figure out what this is. Scripture says he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Two words I want to talk about. What is grief? Grief is sickness. It's disease. It's calamity. It's anxiety as a result of happenings in your life. Loss, sin, abuse, all these things cause grief. Grief happens deep in your soul. Grief comes in your mind, your will, and your emotions, and it manifests itself in your physical reality. Grief comes as a result of loss, and you gotta grieve stuff. Many of us are not really processing through stuff because you ain't grieved stuff from years ago. And there's stuff inside of you that is waiting to be mourned, that is waiting to be grieved, but you haven't given yourself the moment to grieve, and you're carrying stuff because your heart hadn't grieved yet. I know what I'm talking about. Another thing is sorrow. Grief can, the Bible said Jesus bore our sorrow and carried our grief. Here's the thing about it. Grief is in your soul, but sorrow manifests itself. The word in the Hebrew is translated pain, mental pain, emotional pain, physical pain. Many of us in this room right now, you're in pain. Not because maybe something physically wrong with you, but because you're carrying grief deep in your soul and it manifests itself in our body. And we're carrying that pain, but you got to know what it is that you're carrying and why am I carrying this anxiety in this season? Why is this going on in my life? I want you, number one, to figure out what is this that I'm carrying, and watch this. Don't feel bad for carrying it. The scripture says you better, or not the scripture, the song says you better watch out, you better not pout, you better not cry. I want to let you know it's all right to cry in here. It's all right to be upset. Don't shoot me when I say this. It's all right to even go to God and say, I'm a little upset with you too. Oh, that's sacrilegious. I can't say that. But if he's a God that can't deal with your emotions, he's not God. If he's a God that can't handle your frustration, any of y'all have had a kid that looked at you and they lived and said, I'm mad at you right now. And you understood their frustration because their maturity level had not caught up to the level that you were trying to develop them. Don't you date them. I'm going to date whoever I want to. No, you ain't. Not in my car. Not in my house. And they upset with you, and years later down the road, they come shake your hand. Daddy, thank you. Because their maturity level, mama, thank you, didn't know right then in the moment. It's all right to be upset or frustrated with God in the moment because we don't know all that he does and why that he does it. But when you feel it, don't fake it. Tell him how you feel. We are a generation of fakers. How you doing today? I'm blessed and highly favored. No, you are not. You cussed out the cat next door. You messed up them eggs when you walked across the street. You stomped a hole in the concrete. We got to hire somebody to fix it. You are not. You're angry. What's wrong with saying I'm ashamed of myself in this moment? I'm not proud of the decisions that I've made. I don't know how my life got right here. And be honest and own it. It's not who I am. It's where I am. Because there's a big difference between who you are and where you are. As a matter of fact, some of us in here, if you like seeing us down, take a good picture because I ain't going to be here much longer. So I know what this is that I'm carrying and I go through it. But I got to understand why grief and sorrow are taking its toll on me. Grief and sorrow take their toll on you for this reason. You're carrying something that you're not meant to carry. You're carrying some things that are not normal. I have a friend that works at the electric company, and he tells me great stories. He's over the customer service department. And And I hope it's none of you in here, but he tells me great stories of people who call and cuss them out every summer. I hadn't moved my thermostat. It's been set on 70 for the past 2 months. And my bill last month was $400, and it's $700 this month. Y'all didn't hear trying to gouge us. Y'all taking advantage of us. And it ain't right because y'all the only electric company, and we can't go nowhere else. And it's ridiculous. And he has to explain what most of you already know. 70, to maintain 70 in April is different to maintain 70 in July. The temperature has not, that you've set it on has not changed, but the outside elements have changed. And in order to keep it at 70 in July, it takes more work to keep it than it did in April. Your body thrives on a constant environment, and it has to keep itself at that level. And the reason why many of you are working harder in this season than somebody else who's just opening gifts and going alone is you got this extra weight that you're carrying, and your body is trying to keep itself normal. And you were doing good to June. You were doing good to July. And now the season hits. I know what it feels like to sit there and be opening gifts with my brother's daughter and my sister's daughter and son. And I'm sitting here opening gifts with Isaiah, and I feel myself pulling back in this moment, and I'm starting to get angry, and I'm starting to look at myself like, why can't they be here and open up gifts with their kids? Why can't, what makes me so different? And my internal environment is starting to change. But if I don't get control of it, I'll rob Isaiah of his Christmas. If I don't get control of it, I'll rob my parents of their son. If I don't get control of it, I'll rob Barbara of her husband. But I'm working harder than anybody in the room. Why? Because I got some stuff on me that nobody else has got on me. And some of you in this room are trying to explain to people why you're going through the changes that you're going through. And they tell you, your life is great. You got a great job. You look good. You done lost a lot of weight. And they don't know what you're going through on the inside. Some of you people don't know what it takes for you to lift your hand and raise it right now. They don't know what it takes for you to hug and love on people because you've been through some stuff. And then you don't look like but what you've been through, but you've been through some stuff. And you're working hard in this season. For some of you in this place, it took everything you had to come to church this morning. Everything you had to be social. Everything you had to just not break down and say, forget it. Pull the cover over your head and say, I ain't got time for this. And some of you are anointed to check out. Some of you can got the gift to cut off. But you're saying, something in me won't let me do it. Something in me won't let me do it. Goes to my next point. Don't be afraid to address what you're carrying because you're covered. Isaiah 53 and 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs. Surely. He's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and pains. That word bore means to take. And here's the thing about God. He's not a thief. So when he takes stuff, he's not going to break in and take it. You're not going to wake up, it's going to be gone. God's not going to take anything that you don't give to him. If God takes something, Barbara, would you take this? It's because you gave it to him. He said he bore our griefs, internal, emotional stuff. Then he carried our pain. God's trying to bear and carry something, but the reason why he can't bear and carry it is because many of us keep taking it back. You come and say, God, you can have this. I give you my life. I give you my everything. And as soon as the emotion hits, you go, take it back. I thought I had forgiven them. And if I have forgiven them, why do I feel just as angry when they first did it to me as I did right now? If you are checking your emotions to figure out if you forgave somebody, you're going to be checking them for a lifetime. You got to tell your emotions, nope, we're not going to cut up today. We forgave them. We done moved on. We done many chapters since that, right? Oh, no, I'm not going back to that world. No, no, that's like trying to introduce an 8-track in a digital world. We're not going back there. You got to tell your, oh, no, emotions, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Your emotions are trying to get you to go back to those things. Your emotions are trying to pull you back, but you say, no, no, I'm not going back there. But you got to address where you are and not ignore it. Jesus bore it. He took it. But you got to figure out what it is do I need to give it to him, because the hardest part about dealing with stuff, can I talk about us? We don't address stuff. We try to compensate for stuff. You all right in here? So because we don't address it, you'll try to do all these things to get success, but it's not pure. You're trying to overcome this thing that you did not have. I still remember when I was a freshman in high school and I was skinny, gap in my teeth and a big nose, and we were in Columbia, Tennessee, and my ball rolled over to the side, and this young lady said, "What's your name?" And I had to get my voice that, "Jason." "Well, you're ugly." Man, I want to take that ball and smash it in her face. And my whole life, I'd be in the gym talking about, "I wish she could see me now." I'd be on the court dealing them up, "I wish she could see me now." That girl ain't thought nothing about me. Wouldn't know who I was. I wouldn't know who she was. But many of us are carrying stuff that we won't address, and we're putting it in places that it does not need to be put. Touch your neighbor and say, "But you're covered, though." We had this thing in our house. Our heating unit went out. We have a home warranty. So last time I called the home warranty, they came out, and they said, "Oh, this is about to fall apart." They gave me this gloom and doom story. So you know what I did? I didn't get it fixed. I figured out how, y'all laughing. I figured out how to work my fireplace in the living room, in the back room. All the heat rise. Isaiah just up here sweating because all the heat just up there where he is. We sitting by the, in the bedroom. I put a space heater in there. I'd be ashamed of myself. I'm calling them folks out for what they told me. And didn't have the money right then to put a new unit in. And then I finally said, "You know what, Barbara, we're going to call these home warranty people out. We're going to have them look at it again." And I noticed that they sent me another company than what they sent before. Thanks be unto God. I won't tell you their name, but when they came out, the guy looked at it. He said, "Oh, I'll be back out tomorrow to fix it." I said, "Oh, Jesus, what's it going to be?" He said, "No, it's just going to be your deductible." "It's going to be my deductible." I said, "I thought the unit's about to fall apart." He said, "No, your igniter's out. It's getting too much voltage from this, whatever thing is. I changed the voltage. Your igniter works, and your heat going to be working fine." I was living off wrong information and afraid to really address things. Somebody told you how you had to go through. Somebody told you how you had to grieve. And when I went through that, that's how it was for me. That's how it was for them. And some folks are using your situation to get in their unwarranted opinions and to make themselves feel good about who they are. And you are delaying addressing stuff because of what such and so-and-so said. I want to tell you to bite the bullet yourself. Address what it is that God is doing in your life. And here's what you're going to find out. It's not as bad as it seems. But here's the warning. It's not as bad as it seems. But you're making it worse than what it has to be. It's not as bad as it seems, but we make things worse than what they have to. $75. And Isaiah up there losing weight in a sauna sweating. We getting hot and cold adjusting the space heaters in the house. Scared we going to die of this, whatever the gas, that propane tank gas coming out. You cut the thing off, scared we just going to wake up dead. Because I, out of fear, oh, don't you laugh at me and don't you judge me. You've been angry since 1984. You've been upset at that boy who ain't thought nothing about you. You mad at your sister because she got married before you. You holding this judgment against people, and you will not address what's really going on in your life. And God said, "I'm using this moment to get to what you're really carrying, because I'm ready for you to get rid of some stuff." Just tell you how God deals with me. But I was afraid because of fear. The last thing is this. You got to decide what type of fruit you want to see. I kept reading Isaiah 53 and 11, but Gerald, and it blessed me. And I was like, wait a minute. I make sure I'm reading the right thing. He said this: "He, which is God, shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied." You know what I found out being older? One of the best gifts is when you give somebody a gift and you watch them get happy about it. And don't let me buy you something and you act like I ain't bought you nothing. Oh, no, no. You buy these little kids Jordan, they one down here and up there, and they get that stuff dirty. They're like, "Oh, thank you. Buy them a new little iPhone 11. This ain't even the Pro. Man, you just want to take that thing back. How about no phone?" God said, no. I'm going to see the fruit of my travail through you, through your life. He said, "By his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others, shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify." Look at your neighbor and say, "You're justified." Look at your neighbor and say, "You're justified." You know that word justify mean? I'll do it like this. Look at your neighbor and just wipe the shirt off. Just say, while the enemy's throwing dirt on you, God's just constantly wiping it off. He's saying, "Don't bless them. They're trifling." And God said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He said, they messed up. I don't know what you're talking about. Because when I see them, I see Jesus. That's why I don't pray in the name of Jason. I don't pray in the name of my past. I pray in the name of Jesus. He said, "Whom he hath justify," where am I at? "Justify many and make righteous, upright and in right standing with God. for he shall bear their iniquities, watch this, and their guilt with the consequences. Y'all reading that? No, we didn't tell your whole life. You did it, live with it. It's going to be on your record. You did this. You did this to your body. You did that to your credit. You did that to your life. It's all about life is about decisions and consequences. You make this decision, you teach people. That's going to happen. And it's true. But failure is not final. Yes, sir. And I don't have to serve the sentence for the rest of my life. How many of you got kids in here? When you discipline them, are you trying to ruin their life? No, you're trying to make them better. So if I'm trying to make them better, I don't know what's happened there. If I'm trying to make them better, put me back here to where I was. When I'm trying to make them better, I'm not trying to kill them. God said, not only am I going to help you with your guilt, but I'm going to help you with your consequences. I'm going to help you deal with the things that you're dealing with. How did God do that? He justified us through Jesus. Can you pull up my slide with Jeremiah 29:11, the last slide that I have? How did God see the fruit in our life? Here's how God saw the fruit in my life. He got the fruit in my life by thinking the right thoughts about me. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the thoughts that I think plans towards you. I've taken up care towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Here's what God said. To get the right thing in my life and to get all the trifling stuff you did off of me. Because if God thought about us what we do, we'd be in some trouble. If God thought about how trifling we were, if God thought about how we said this and did that, if God thought negative thoughts like we think, he would mess us up. But he said, I am thinking thoughts. I'm thinking the right thoughts towards you. And they're going to create a plan. They're going to produce peace and a desired end. The reason why many of us, y'all hear me when I say this, because it's going to jump on you in the morning. It's going to jump on you when you leave here. The reason why many of us are dealing with this stuff right here is through our thought life. You wake up and Satan tells you something. You're going to be this. You're going to die from this. You're going to spend the rest of your life like this. You're going to be this. And you think that thought like, huh, maybe that's right. Thoughts can mess you up. They built Krispy Kreme and Muffin Spray a little bit ago. And I could be sitting in my bed at 11 p.m. and they've got an app that'll tell you when the donuts are fresh. I'll go on the app and I'll say, are they fresh? From a thought. Because I like my chocolate ice donuts when they're fresh. And not only, yes, sir, and not only do I like chocolate ice, but I like the hot chocolate there because it's made with that Godiva, whatever chocolate, instead of some G and an H. I don't know how you say it. It's just good. Try it. And I like it together. I ain't went nowhere. Just sitting in my bed. Barbara liked those fresh glazed when Isaiah liked sprinkles. That sounded like a good idea at 11 o'clock at night. Next thing I know, I'm thinking that thought. And I find my shoes. I find my jogging suit. Find my keys. Get in my car for a good evening driving. It started with a thought. And it ain't, it's late at night. Ain't nobody going to be there. Ain't going to be much traffic. Take me about 20 minutes to get there. Ain't nobody going to be in line. I'm going to get in there and get out. And the next thing I know, I'm back home eating my chocolate ice donuts with my hot chocolate. And it started with the thought. I began to think on that thought and began to think how great that would be. I began to speak that thought. Don't you want some donuts too? They got the whole house just sugar high and sugar rush. Everybody excited about donuts. It works in the opposite as well. They said things ain't working right, that things ain't working out, and you take that thought and start thinking it. But here's the thing about thoughts. They're powerful and they're real, and they carry attached with their memories. And I begin to think those thoughts. Man, I used to like doing this. I used to like doing that. Next thing you know, you're up thinking it. You're up saying it. You're up doing it. And now this thing is on your back, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get this thing off of me? How do I get it off of me? It's this easy, and it's going to sound crazy. You got to take the thought like God did that he thought. You got here because of an action. Something happened in your life, but it produced the thought. Some of the stuff that we're in bondage to ain't been happening for years. You just let yourself still stay in bondage. Take this off by taking the right thought, and I think it. I begin to think, God, what do you say about me? I was going through a very challenging season on my job. Anybody, God, ever blessed you with something that you know you didn't deserve? And it put more pressure on you than you ever had in your life. Oh, and they would sing that song during that time, pulling me through. I had to put my headphones in, and I couldn't sing. But I would just say, God, you're pulling me through. Through all that I go through, God, it was you. I can't quit. I can't give up. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. You got to speak yourself through this, because if I took this on me, I would quit. I would go somewhere I shouldn't. But as I think the right thought, just try it. I know you don't believe me. I know you got all these emotions, but just try it. Wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Satan's going to say, you need to get yourself back in this bed. All the stuff you're going through, go and put me on you. I look good on you. Been wearing me for a long time. But aren't you tired of being weighed down? Aren't you tired of being heavy? Aren't you tired of dodging people? Aren't you tired of not dealing with it? God said, take my thought. And when you take my thought, the thing that you're dealing with, you ain't got to worry about it taking it off. It's going to fall off of you because it cannot exist. Can I close with a story? Anybody hate snakes in here? Man, I don't like them. Ain't one snake I like. I hate dead ones. I hate alive ones, big ones, little ones. I don't like them. There's a story of a plane that was flying and it had snakes on it, cargo. And it began to fly and the snakes got loose. And they motioned to the pilot. They said, pilot, the snakes are loose in here. What are we going to do? And the pilot said, I can't land because they're liable to bite me. But somebody on there was a maven. They do a lot of information. And they said, I heard snakes can't exist at high altitudes. So if you take this plane higher, you'll kill all the snakes. Pilot called down to tower and said, tower, permission to go higher. They heard less rattling. They heard less movement. But they said they didn't do it quite yet. They said, pilot to tower, can I go higher again? And the higher they went, the less the snakes moved. And before they knew it, all the snakes died. Can I tell you how to get rid of that stuff? You have to go higher in your thought life. You got to go higher in God. You got to go to a place that you've never been before, block some stuff out, shut some stuff out, and the stuff that is bothering you falls off of you the higher you go in God. I'm over my time. Stand to your feet all over the building. I need you to do me a favor. Some of you in here, many of us in here are carrying some stuff. It could be grief. It could be loss. It's tough in this season. In here today is a group of people that I grew up with in Shelbyville, Bright's Temple, Church of God in Christ. And Janika reached out and said, you know, the only time we really ever see each other is at funerals. And the holidays is a tough time for many of us. Why don't we come together and worship? Many of you in this room right here, the season for you is tough. I'm not going to put you on the spot or do anything like that. But I want everybody in this place that's carrying something in this season that you're ready for God to help you process. I'm not telling you it's going to happen with the click of the finger and overnight. But I'm telling you God's going to take you through this process and it's going to get better from here. But everything that you're carrying, I want you to imagine it being in your hand and you wadding it up like a paper ball. I want you to do that for me. Just imagine your hand and wad it up. We're going to cast this weight on Jesus. He said, it's too simple. You don't know. I don't want to be insulted by a simple exercise and this stuff is heavy. I know. Just follow me. I want you to imagine this stuff. Here's the thing about losing people. You never move on. You move forward. You carry the memories forward. But what God said I want is your loss. I want your grief. God said to somebody here, I want your guilt. I want your shame. I want your anger. And we're going to cast it at the feet of Jesus this morning. And I want you to imagine that thing in your hand. And I want you to do something by faith. You're going to do two things. I want you to take whatever's in your hand, whatever you've been carrying, and I want you to act like you're throwing it. Just throw it towards the altar. Just throw it towards me. And something's going to begin to happen in your spirit when you release it. All that anger, all that frustration. Watch me. This atmosphere is charged with healing. This atmosphere is charged with hope. And as you release it, something is about to happen. This is going to seem maybe even nuts to some of you, but where you are, I want you to take just one step forward. Just take a small step forward and then look back over your shoulder and say this. I'm not where I used to be. I'm moving from that place. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm ready to move forward in God, step by step. Come on, say it, moment by moment, minute by minute. And I'm not going back to that place. God, help me. Somebody say, God, help me. God, help me in the name of Jesus. Father, in this moment, I I want you to pray to God. If you got somebody beside you want to pray with, I want you to pray with them. Lay your hand on your shoulder if you guys don't mind. Pray over that neighbor. Pray over, let love on them. Come on. He's a liar.
God is exalted. Never be defeated.
Never be defeated. Touch my name. Let them experience your goodness. Let them experience your power. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you now. In Jesus' name. Speak this over somebody's life. Hug them and tell them you will have a Merry Christmas. You'll have a great celebration. Come on, hug them and let them know that. While you're singing that, get your offering together.
Never be defeated.
Yeah.
Never be defeated. Never be defeated.